Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and on today's show, we're going to feature something pretty unique, a rock album inspired by G.K. Chesterton. I'll be joined by actor, singer, and five-time Emmy Award winner Jonathan Jackson, his brother Richard Lee Jackson, and their friend Daniel Sweat, who make up the band E-Nation. They'll be talking about their album, Radio Cinematic, and why they integrate themes of God and faith into their music. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. You likely know the name Jonathan Jackson because he won five Emmy Awards during his years playing Lucky Spencer on General Hospital, and he now stars in the hit ABC series Nashville as musician Avery Barkley. But Jonathan doesn't just play a singer-songwriter on TV. He's actually been making music for much of his life, and he continues to do that with his band E-Nation, which consists of his brother Richard Lee Jackson and their friend Daniel Sweat. Now the group has a new album called Radio Cinematic, and you might be surprised to hear it was somewhat inspired by writer and theologian G.K. Chesterton. Jonathan, Richard, and Daniel are joining me on the show today to talk about their music, but first we're going to listen to a clip from Radio Cinematic. Here are Jonathan Jackson and E-Nation with Everything Is Possible. From my knees I rise to dream. From the inside out. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. We just heard a clip of the song Everything Is Possible from the album Radio Cinematic by Jonathan Jackson and E-Nation, and I am happy to have Jonathan Jackson, Richard Lee Jackson, and Daniel Sweat of E-Nation here today. Guys, thanks so much for coming to the studio.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, let me start with a question to you, Jonathan, because there's not a lot of rock albums out there that I think are at least partially inspired by G.K. Chesterton, so tell me about this.
You read the bio, didn't you?
I did.
It's good.
How did this Chestertonian idea weave its way into your music?
That's
making.
Great. I love G.K. Chesterton. You know, he's incredible. And I think I discovered him through C.S. Lewis, actually.
Okay.
I was a huge C.S. Lewis fan, and then I discovered that he was influenced by Chesterton, so mm-hmm. I started reading some of his work. But there was a particular theme in one of the books. I can't remember if it was The Everlasting Man or Orthodoxy. I'm not sure. But it had to do with your second childhood. Mm-hmm. And in his, you know, witty, brilliant way, he talked about this sort of, as you grow up, you get this invitation to enter your second childhood again. Mm-hmm. And I have felt that, you know, in my own life. Growing up and, you know, the world has its way of kind of beating you down. I think one of the toughest things to live with is genuine joy. And
right.
So, like, in the band, we've always seen joy and having this sense of hope as a kind of rebellion,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it's not this passive, docile, soft thing
yeah.
that people oftentimes think, but it's actually it comes from a place of having a fight inside of you. And
right.
so entering your second childhood, you do that through a choice that you make.
Right.
And I was inspired by Chesterton with that.
Now, Daniel, Richard, did you guys go through the same thing thinking about your second childhood? Are you guys all in your kind of similar ages?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Early, mid-30s.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so is that's usually like you're approaching middle age and you start thinking about youth.
It's true.
Yeah, no.
No, there are I think questions mainly subconscious. It's funny how sometimes things come out in music that you're not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Themes in this record about, you know, looking back and kind of wondering how you can kind of have that sense of wonder and keep that sense of wonder. Like being in a band for 10 years, it would be easy to start becoming jaded to to some respect. Even as wonderful as, you know, we're all married and we have kids, and as wonderful as that is, there's always this, you know, lurking temptation to have some kind of that jadedness enter into relationships as well. And I think the album explores some of those themes. And Jonathan did a really good job lyrically of expressing that. And Dan and I wanted to come along musically and find ways to express it sonically.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a part of everyday life, choosing to be excited and you know, kind of not sleepwalk through things, especially with marriage and kids and even to, with the band. It's really easy to just kind of be like, hey, you know, we'll just put our head down and
there,
and
it's easy to be disappointed in life, you know.
But it's harder to actually enjoy, you know, the journey.
Right.
And so that's kind of like that second childhood of
having that choice and that declaration, like, in everything is possible, that, you know, as Jonathan has said before, everything is possible is kind of a midnight prayer for us. And it becomes something that it's a declaration. Sometimes you fully believe it, and sometimes it's something that you declare because you need to believe it and because you're striving to believe that thing.
Right.
And so coming against the despondency in life is a theme in that song. And sometimes, you know, we're singing it in that triumphant way, and sometimes it's just a desperate prayer.
Right. I'm talking to Jonathan Jackson, Daniel Sweat, and Richard Lee Jackson about their album Radio Cinematic. We listened to the song Everything Is Possible before this interview, and this is really a song about love, and you guys just mentioned you're all married with kids. Has your definition of love changed since you've gotten married and had kids? Is it different than, say, 15 years ago, what you thought it would be?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm a huge fan of marriage, and I think that it's it challenges you, and it's a battlefield. You know, I mean, it's one of the most beautiful things in the world, and one of the most challenging things in the world. And I think you know, both people have to find this place of sacrificial love. Mm-hmm. And so whatever definitions of love I had in my head have been completely challenged and, you know, over and over again. But, it's like a beautiful challenge. One of the songs on the record, Cinematic, was inspired by that, you know, I guess what we would call a sacred romance. And, it's like a beautiful battle.
and similar with kids, you know, it's on one hand, it's the most amazing and beautiful experience to have your kids, and another, it's the most demanding, especially when they're very young. And I think that those themes played into the record for sure.
Well, that theme of sacrificial love, there is a song on there called Even the Flames Are Love. Is that kind of what you were going for with that song?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, that, you know, that song, again, a lot of the songs for us have romantic, you know, overtones, but they also have overtones of faith and a relationship with God, and they people can relate to them from, you know, kind of wherever they're coming from in their lives. But that song in particular, the whole journey of the record, as Richard talked about, is this question: how do we get back to that primordial joy? You know, because we all lose it. It's not something you hold on to easily. And so Even the Flames Are Love, coming as the second to last track, that was sort of, that is the depth that love will go, you know. To me, it was about the fact that, you know, God would actually go to the depths of hell, you know, to heal us and to be with us. I would descend into hell for you. And that's a powerful, you know, thing to think about. And then when you think about a marriage too, you have to have that kind of, you know, reality inside of you to say, you know what, I will fight for you. I will, you know, go into battle for you. And so that's something that means a lot to us.
Yeah, well, I was listening to the album last night, and you do an interesting thing. You start the album with Young World's Riot, a song which has kind of the sense of innocence and hope and joy, and you repeat it at the end. And this one, it's much more, it's still got the hope and the joy, but it's much more tempered and mature. Is that basically, does that reflect the human experience, you think, for you, the experience of every human heart?
Yeah, that's, you know, exactly spot on, really, because
it's very perceptive.
It is.
Thank you.
Because, you know, for us, it was entering your second childhood. It's a paradox, because you're you know, re-entering this place of innocence and wonder, and yet there's less naivety. You've had all these experiences. You've walked through some dark places, you know. So the album, we wanted to have a great deal of honesty. You know, it doesn't do any good to just, you know, have a glossy picture of life and just, oh, everything's okay, everything's possible. And it has to have the tension and the reality of conflict in it, because that's what life is. So Young World's Riot, the end, which is the second version, for us, that was kind of re-entering that, you know, innocence and primordial joy, but from a completely different place of experience. So we wanted it to be heavy, like more like a soundtrack, like the end of a film sort of.
No, it's an impressive album. I want encourage everybody to pick up Radio Cinematic by Jonathan Jackson and E Nation. I told the guys before we started this that I've listened to their previous albums, but I think they've never sounded better than they do on this. Jonathan's vocals soar. The music is fuller and richer. I mean, Jonathan, you sometimes remind me of like you go from Bono to Robert Plant with your vocals.
Nice.
And
awesome.
It's
cool. Thanks.
It's a really impressive album you guys have
Thank
created.
You.
Thank you. Very kind. Thank you.
And you. But you've always done like indie albums. What was different on this album? Because this is a studio record from Loud and Proud Records.
Yeah.
Did it make it easier not to have to do everything?
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and we spent about 2 years, you know, demoing and in pre-production on the album. So we were able to do a lot of work before we got in the studio of kind of like whittling the songs down and arranging them. And then when Greg Archilla, the producer, got involved, he helped that process even more, helped us get the sound that we've always wanted, kind of helped us capture the live energy that we've always wanted to capture on previous albums, but didn't really have the know-how to do it on our own.
So. Yeah, one of the great things, there were many with working with Greg, but he got to see us perform live before we went into the studio.
Okay.
So he had the visceral live experience and the energy that we perform with.
Yeah.
And so he said, I want to bring that into the studio and make that come alive. And, you know, he has an incredible track record, you know, with Collective Soul and Matchbox 20. And we just thought this could be a really, really great fit. And it was. It was the whole process was extremely collaborative and really smooth.
We'd been an indie band for, you know, 10 years and we learned a lot in that process of just every aspect of making music, producing it and mixing it and touring and the whole thing. But at some point we were very happy to have a bigger team with, you know, management and Loud and Proud.
One of the things you learn is your limitations.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
And so we were hungry to bring somebody in and co-produce the record with us. And, you know, Greg has not only become a collaborator, but he's become a great friend as well.
I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'll be back in a couple of minutes to continue my conversation with Jonathan Jackson, Richard Lee Jackson, and Daniel Sweat of the band E Nation. But now we're going to bring you a message from the Christophers, and first, to play us into our break, here's another clip from the album Radio Cinematic by Jonathan Jackson and E Nation. This is called Young World's Riot.
Millions of distractions. It's all too easy to lose sight of God in the midst of housework or homework or a hard day at the office. Yet God continues to speak to you, even in your busiest or most distracted moments. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Listening When God Speaks. It shares stories about people who have learned to recognize God's voice in their lives and offers advice on how you can do the same. To request your free copy of Listening When God Speaks, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and I'm talking today with Jonathan Jackson, Richard Lee Jackson, and Daniel Sweat of the band E Nation about their album Radio Cinematic. Before we get back to our interview, I want to share another clip from that album. Here are Jonathan Jackson and E Nation with A Faraway Reality.
Every war is a civil war. cut from the edge of a broken sword. We all bleed the same red. We all weep for our dead. It's as close as a mother's tears. It's as far away as your apathy. Well, it's a faraway reality when you don't hear them call. I don't see the point at all. Every heart has the right to sing, and from her conscience choose what to believe. Would you cry if her eyes were blue? If she looked just like you?
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Jonathan Jackson, Richard Lee Jackson, and Daniel Sweat of E Nation. There's a really powerful song on the album called A Faraway Reality, and I read it was inspired by somebody you met who was aware of the Syria situation before it was even well-known here in America. Tell me a little bit of the backstory of that.
Sure. Well, I had the great privilege of meeting someone who is a monk from Mount Athos.
Oh, you so met somebody? Because last time we talked about it. But,
yeah, I still haven't been over there. But okay. I met them in this person in the U.S. And he was able to educate me, you know, as to what's going on over there in the Middle East. This was a few years ago when the conflict in Syria was not really, you know, in the mainstream media very much. And it just hit me in a certain place. And I felt like you know, I had to express it somehow artistically. And it was one of those moments I sat down at the piano and it just came out really easily and quickly. It was one of those things that felt like it was kind of writing itself.
Okay.
Because that's how I felt with these things. You know, you hear it, you see headlines, you talk to people, and it can be as close as a mother's tears. It can hit you personally and it can make you want to do something about it, or it can just remain abstract and, well, you know, a lot of times people feel like, well, the Middle East is always on fire. There's nothing we can do. It's just chaos over there. And there are things that we can do, you know. I mean, we can't solve everything, obviously, but we can certainly help.
Yeah. Well, one of the things you can do is, I know you support the Syria Project and the anti-human trafficking organization Not For Sale. Just tell me a little bit about them and what they do and how they help people.
Well, Not For Sale is an incredible organization that we've been working with for several years. And they go into countries, different countries, and they find ways to kind of help people get out of the human trafficking situation. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, they'll be, you know, rehabilitation. Yeah. They'll do jobs. They'll work with lawyers to help in the actual laws of the country to help, you know, fight against human trafficking. All of these different ways that they combat it. And they're just a group of very passionate people that are very smart. And, you know, their whole thing is just bring who you are and the gifts that you have to this fight. And whatever that is, it's needed. And so for us being artists, just having music available that helps support them and playing events for them. We've been able to play at their global forum, for instance, a few times. Mm-hmm. Anything we can do to kind of help them fight human trafficking is something that we're excited to be a part of.
Right, right. Well, I think one of the things you do on this album with that song and everything in particular, it's you're painting these word pictures, these experiences for people. And I love the title of the album, Radio Cinematic, because it juxtaposes these two different ideas. Yeah. What made you go with that title?
Again, very perceptive. it really was that, you know, juxtaposition that we've lived in the film world and the music world, you know, pretty much most of our lives. Mm-hmm. And as industries, oftentimes are seen as two completely different things. But for us, from an artistic perspective, they completely connect. Yeah. And, you know, now they're connecting even more on an actual industry. basis too. But it was really, you know, that music and cinema to us connect. You know, one of the things that inspired me the most in terms of a rock band was U2's tour, Zoo TV.
Okay.
Which was sort of this onslaught of, you know, of visuals. But they mm-hmm. were commenting on the culture in a really profound way. Peter Gabriel as well, the way okay. that he blends this cinematic thing with his music. And so that's inspired us a lot, and we just felt like we wanted this album to represent that journey of those two worlds coming together and creating a full experience for people.
Yeah. When I was listening to the album and listening to the lyrics and the music, I thought of this Flannery O'Connor quote, the story is the only way to say something that can't be said any other way. And it reminded me of the songs because they are like an experience. It's not just the words. It's not just the music. It's everything together. Is that what you go for when you create music, that you can't separate the two, that it's just the whole thing, the whole package?
You hope so.
Yeah.
I think that's the goal. I mean, we've always tried to tell stories and, you know, paint pictures with the songs and the sonic landscape. So if we can achieve that in any way, I think we can consider ourselves successful in trying to communicate
totally.
How we feel. And
yeah. Yeah, I was just reminded of this quote. I think maybe Daniel Lanois said it, that a feeling is stronger than a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a delicate balance when you have a lot of ideas that you know you love to put into lyrics or stories or whatever. But at the end of the day, the feeling that the song gives you has to be stronger than the thought.
Yeah.
And then the thoughts are there underneath the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just – you can't just like – talk to people and try to communicate things from like, you know, so it's this delicate balance of wanting to create, like you said, this experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then within the experience, there's a lot that you can sort of dig and find that's there.
It's even almost like the experience of evangelization or something. Very few people have been converted through logic alone. It's,
right.
it's through personal connection. And so that's what you guys are really
doing
here.
Yeah.
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 I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Jonathan Jackson and E Nation, Richard Lee Jackson and Daniel Sweat, about their album Radio Cinematic. There's another good song on the album called The Morning of the Rain, which I believe was also on Nashville.
Yes.
And it's really, to me, it seemed to be just about the whole healing process. Tell me a little bit about how that came to be. To have the song featured on the show, that's something
right.
that you wrote and also now on this album.
Yeah, well, I wrote the song before I was on the show.
Oh, okay.
And it was in the early demo, you know, process for the new album that we were going to make at some future date at that
mm-hmm.
time. And it was one of those songs that completely stood out to, mm-hmm. to Dan and to Richard. And, you know, we always felt like it could be a big song for us. And so when I got on the show, I just, you know, T-Bone Burnett was doing the music for season one. So I got him just some demos of some songs, and he really responded to it and
mm-hmm.
wanted to record it for the show. And so it made it on the show, which was exciting. You know, it was really cool for us. And then I played it for Greg Archilla.
At the last minute.
Yeah, like we only had like maybe a week or two left in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't even thought about doing The Morning of the Rain on the record. And it just came to me. I thought, you know, the themes of this song actually really make sense for this album.
Yeah.
So I played it on piano, and he just completely loved it and wanted to, you know, take it in a slightly different direction than what we did on the show. But it was really exciting for us to discover it.
He took the version from the show and I think just a rough demo from the studio of you vocally and piano and took it home. And he
yeah.
said he played it all night, and it was in the background while he was sleeping.
Okay.
And he was humming
really?
Different parts in the shower, and the next morning we got in, and normally we'd get into the studio and he would be like, "Hey guys," you know, and we'd drink coffee. We got in and he didn't really even say hi. He was just at the computer like splicing up all these loops and putting stuff together. And
he was a mad scientist. Yeah. We were like, just let him be, give him a few minutes, and then we'll jump in there and see what's going on.
Yeah. So you guys get to watch the creative process of somebody else with your music.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Sure.
It's good.
Exactly. No, I mean,
that's
the beauty of, you know, collaborating and being inspired by each other.
Well, just to stay with the Nashville thing a minute, I have to say it's nice seeing you here kind of smiling and laughing, because as I watch Nashville this season, you are one heck of a tortured soul.
Oh, man. That's very true. Yeah.
As an actor, is it fun to play something like that, or do you carry the torture with you, like, beyond the camera?
Yeah, I don't really carry the torture with me in a psychological way. I mean, I'm able to, you know, disassociate myself from, you know, the trouble that the character's going through. But
mm-hmm.
physically, it's exhausting.
You
know, it's like your body doesn't know that that you're pretending. So it takes mm-hmm. a lot out of you physically to, you know, be that angry and emotional and whatever. And it's a totally different physicality, you know, being drunk. And so it was like the first 5 or 6 episodes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely exhausting, but it's kind of a fun challenge as yeah. well. You
right,
know?
Right. And you can't give us any spoilers about... Nope, he's shaking his head.
No, they don't. They keep us pretty, you know, tight-lipped about that.
Okay. But we can. No, we can't.
Off the air. I'm talking to Jonathan Jackson, Richard Lee Jackson, and Daniel Sweat about their band E-Nation and about their album Radio Cinematic. Well, all right, final question. What do you hope, the people who listen to the album, what do you hope they walk away from it with?
Richard?
Well, I guess for us, we just want them to be able to experience the songs. I mean, you've expressed it really well. You know, you were able to kind of pick up on the themes of the record and talk about each song being an experience. If they could walk away with, you know, an experience that is enjoyable, somehow enriching, with a sense of hope, but a mature hope that everything is possible, that would be really neat for us.
Yeah, and I think if someone were able to listen to the album from beginning to end and pick up on the themes that you'd picked up on, and even if it just made them think about that idea of getting back to your childhood or the second childhood, and if that's all it is it's just a thought that makes them think, I think that's, you know, a success for us.
Yeah, C.S. Lewis said, we read to know we're not alone.
Oh,
and
great.
I think music is the same thing. You know, we listen to music to know we're not alone. So if someone were to listen to our record and feel known and feel like, you know, there's this common humanity, mm-hmm. And it just, you know, makes them feel like they're not on their own. And that would be amazing.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking to Jonathan Jackson, Richard Lee Jackson, and Daniel Sweat of E-Nation. Their album is Radio Cinematic. I just want to read a line of an Amazon review about the album. It said, "These words and music were created by loving souls who clearly know the darkness and the healing that comes from kindness, light, and love." So I think that pretty much encapsulates what the guys have created on Radio Cinematic. It's an album I think you should all pick up. Their website is enationmusic.com, but the album is available on Amazon and iTunes and all the usual places, and the CD, and I think you even have a vinyl available.
Yes, we do.
For the old school crowd. So,
love that.
So thanks to all you guys for making the music and for coming to the studio
cool.
today.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineers for today's show are Charlie Actor and Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.